from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Is this Fresh Fridays or Fresh Friends Days? Because we got so many friends coming to hang out with us. We got, of course, in the 11:30, in the 11 o'clock hour, we got Angela Russell. She'll be joining the show. And then it looks like, oh my goodness, at 10:33, we got Perry Cooper, SEA Airport spokesperson, coming on the show. And then you know our favorite. That's going to be happening here right in a second. You want to get right to it, Ursula?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's get to it.
What's new at 10?
Not to play favorites, but this next guest is really, really high up there on the list.
No doubt.
So Michael Medved is here. Always love it when you're in the studio.
Thank you, especially on St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yes, and I noticed that you are wearing green.
Thank you. My wife reminded me.
I know. I'm one for 10. Last 10 years, this is the first time I've worn green. So we're good. Gee, how are you doing on that front? Okay. I want to ask you, Michael, the first story that we have in our top story section. It's about Governor Inslee, whether he decides or not to run for a fourth term. If he decides not to, who should run for governor? And the Northwest Progressive Institute asked nearly 900 voters, if the 2024 election were held today, would they vote for these specific Democrats, Bob Ferguson, Hillary France, or Dow Constantine, or Republican Bruce Dammeier? And the poll showed that 35% would pick Dammeier, 21% would pick Ferguson, and 7% would go for Constantine or France, and then another 30%, obviously a big number, were not sure. So I want to ask you, first of all, should Governor Jay Inslee run for a fourth term?
No, of course not, but of course he will. I think it's extremely likely that Jay runs for governor because he probably would be reelected for a fourth term. And one thing about him, if you know him at all, he kind of enjoys the job. And he enjoys the attention. He enjoys the idea that he's irreplaceable. And none of that, I think, is true. But again, when Dammeier gets, 35%?
Yes.
It's because he's the only Republican there.
Exactly. And that's
and
what
people don't really know who he is.
They don't. But when you do get to know him, I mean, personally, he's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what he does. I think he's very moderate
He's smart and responsible.
Yes, exactly. So he would be...
Can't have that in government. Smart and responsible. Ooh-wee.
Okay, so I want to ask you, though, if, let's just say, Governor Inslee doesn't run again for a fourth term.
Yeah.
I personally would prefer that someone else run. Who do you think from the Republican Party would have a chance?
Well, I do think we spoke about this before when I was on. I think that people are saying that Jamie Herrera Butler is seriously considering a race. She was an outstanding congresswoman. She did a terrific job. I think that Dan Newhouse, even though he's not from the Puget Sound area, he's from Tri-Cities, but he's been a fine congressman and I think could appeal to a broad base of support. And but basically, if it is Inslee, or frankly, if it is Bob Ferguson, I think in this very heavily Democratic state, it's going to be a tough fight for Republicans.
For a Republican.
Okay. And when you say tough fight for Republicans,
yeah.
And last time we got Lauren Culp. why are you laughing, Michael?
Because we can do better.
Well,
John Kennedy used that slogan when he was running. We can do better. And I think we can do better than Lauren Culp.
Okay.
He just took a job now. He took another job, right? But it's not in law enforcement. It's in something else, and it's also in some part in the center of the state.
Okay, so we got Lauren Culp, and that was during the presidential election.
Right.
And then as we know, that when you vote for governor here in the state of Washington,
right,
it matches up with voting for the president.
Right.
I said the real reason why a lot of these Republicans who I think are good don't throw their name in the hat because they're looking over at the national politics and like, I don't want to have to associate and I have to agree with Donald J. Trump. Look what happened to Jamie Herrera Butler when she didn't align with Trump.
Right. And by the way, there is no Republican nominee. In other words, a Republican to be on the general election ballot has to at least finish second to whoever the Democrat selection is. And I think there's a very good chance that if there are a bunch of different Democrats running, that we have a new birth of energy or and is that possible? It is. But this is one of those areas where the way we have our primary elections set up, though I think generally it's a good idea, could very easily keep the Republican from getting into the general election.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to kind of throw out an open question because every time we have this segment, there are people who keep saying this is a bash Republicans or bash former President Trump segment when we invite you on. And it's we never intend for it to be that way. Right. So I want to ask you what I asked you off the air, which is right now, what makes you particularly proud to be a Republican?
The fact that most Republicans are supporting our country and the fight for independence and survival in Ukraine. And it is a great majority. Most Republicans were very critical, certainly the prominent Republicans, of Governor DeSantis when he made comments saying this was a territorial dispute and it was not a vital concern in the United States. I think that the great majority of Republicans in the House and the Senate are dedicated to the country and are dedicated to building up our defenses. I think that's very important. And they are also trying, though I don't think it should be allowed to threaten the default, but they're trying to get some curbs on federal spending. I think federal spending is a real problem. It's contributed greatly to the inflation. The Biden administration, if it has one indictable crime, not a crime, but mistake, that mistake would be just overspending, particularly in the name of COVID. And that needs to be brought under control. And Republicans have been pretty unified on that. Now they just have to figure out a reasonable way to do it.
First of all, I just want to say that you coming on this show every Friday at 10 o'clock, it's my favorite part of the week. Because it's a time for us to have sensible conversations about these things that's happening right now. And you just said that the Republicans, the vast majority of them, they believe in this and that. I believe you 100%. But then yesterday, you're laughing because you know what I'm about to say.
Sure I do.
Then yesterday, right now, the leader for the GOP, if the vote was to happen today, this would be the nominee for president of the United States. Donald J. Trump gets on there and tells the world that Russia is not a threat and that the biggest threat is here at home. When you have that, it negates everything that you say, Michael.
You're absolutely right, which is why I am so concerned. And you don't have to bash Trump. I mean, Trump is a profound danger to the survival of the Republican Party. Because, again, when you talk about basically his position on January 6th, His claims, he did that mixtape, which we played on the air when I was on here. And he has promised he's going to end up pardoning all of the – there are over 512 people who have pled guilty to various crimes on January 6th. Somebody injured the police officers. They didn't just stumble. They got hurt. And the people who hurt cops – I mean, this is a law and order issue for what should be a law and order party. And in any event, look, you're absolutely correct. I think that there are a number of people, Mike Pence, for instance. Mike Pence has all been standing up. And no, he doesn't look like he's soaring in the polls. But I think that particularly with DeSantis trying to compete for the MAGA votes with President Trump, and I don't think that DeSantis is in a good position to get MAGA votes from President Trump. With that going on, I think the opportunity for somebody to appeal to other Republicans who do not think the election was stolen, who do not think that there was just a sightseeing tour that went awry on January 6th. They weren't just tourists. They were rioters. And again, the most people in the Republican Party, and that, this is why the question, what has the Republican Party done? I think that right now you could say that it's kind of a shame that so soon the opportunity to actually accomplish anything in the House of Representatives, which the Republicans took control of, has sort of been swallowed up by the gathering storm of this election fight, which is going to be very complicated. And when I say complicated, because it'll have a lot of different candidates, some of whom are terrific people.
Michael, I'm going to just share with you, I know that when you also share your views on 770 KTTH, yeah. You get a lot of pushback from conservatives. And right now on our text line, someone's saying, you know, you are a Republican in name only, a rhino. How do you think that your position falls within the Republican Party today? Is it the Republican Party of the past, or are you still thinking that it could be the future too?
Well, I think it is the past, the present, and the future. And if you look at the people who are most admired by members of the Republican Party, no name comes forward more clearly than Ronald Reagan. And Reagan believed that Russia represented the evil empire. Reagan believed that we needed peace through strength, not peace through appeasement. And that's really what we're talking about now, is there is a it is a minority in the Republican Party, but there is an appeasement wing that would just like to forget about some of the real problems that we have in this world if we do not stand with democracies who are defending their own national sovereignty. That's not Republican. I would say that someone who doesn't believe that, someone who believes that the right thing to do with Ukraine is what Neville Chamberlain did with Czechoslovakia in 1938, that's the Republican in name only.
So Michael, again, another time where I agree with you, because Republicans that I talk to, not talking to you on the air, but the Republicans that I talk to off the air sound just like you, right?
They're a bunch of us.
Right, no, like the majority, like they sound just like you. So my question is this. If the majority of the Republicans think the way that you do, how in the world has Donald Trump been able to be so powerful to where even the ones that don't think like him are scared to denounce him?
Well, again, because people don't want a repeat of what happened in 2016. In 2016, Trump didn't get majority of votes anywhere until the other candidates had basically all dropped out. Mm-hmm. He won with pluralities because the other candidates, the Marco Rubios and Jeb Bushes and Chris Christie's, they all divided votes. John Kasich won Ohio. And we have a system in the Republican side, which is worse than the Democratic system, whereby there's still a bunch of states where even if you win with 30% of the vote, you get all the delegates. And that's what people are afraid of with Donald Trump.
So you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose those primaries. You don't want right. to lose. So basically, you're saying a lot of these folks care more about the vote than the people.
I'm not sure what you mean
by
that.
Meaning you care, like, you don't want to say anything bad. Like, you don't want to be Jamie Herrera Butler. You don't want to do what she did.
People don't want Trump to come after them and to say
still.
Well, sure, because right now he did you see he wanted to prosecute Liz Cheney and the other members of the House Select Committee on January 6th for treason. And someone brought up to him, hey, treason under the Constitution, that's a death penalty. He said, yep, yep. So he wants basically to execute Benny Thompson of Mississippi and Liz Cheney of Wyoming and Zoe Lofgren of California, all the people on that committee. I should be prosecuted for treason. And again, it's madness. And I think people are very reluctant to say anything because they need the votes. They're afraid of not getting the votes. And confirming the Republican Party in a minority status as the MAGA party.
When do you anticipate Ron DeSantis announcing that he's running?
They say the end of May. Because okay. of the legislative session.
Do you think that'll change things and maybe give him more oxygen or you know?
I'll tell you what I think. I think that he made a terrible, terrible mistake with the answer he gave to Tucker Carlson about Ukraine. And that's really opens it up to be more than a two-person race. I think it's a great opportunity, particularly for Tim Scott and Nikki Haley, if they can figure out the South Carolina thing that they both represent.
Wow. One more thing for you, y'all. One more follow-up.
We always give you – we always want to squeeze that extra time for Michael.
I just want to make sure I get this straight. You're saying that the reason why is that some of these Republicans don't – if they speak out or denounce Donald Trump and speak out on some of the things he says, they don't want him to come after them and it would mess up with their votes.
Well, also they don't want to force, and this is what we're going to be talking about today on my show.
What's that?
The third party threat, because Trump has let people know that if he somehow loses the nomination, he probably will continue to run as an independent or third party candidate, which would shatter the Republican Party.
So if I were to say that that's caring more about votes than what's best for the people, is that wrong for me to say? Because Jamie Herrera Butler basically said, I care about the people more than the votes.
Right. And the way you care about the people and the way you can serve the people is by winning. For Republicans to basically have a fourth disastrous election under the leadership of Donald Trump is not a way you can help anybody.
Fair. Michael Medved, man, I always love it when you come in. Thank you, sir.
Hey, I appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend and happy St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hey, coming up next on the Gian Ursula Show, Perry Cooper. Yes, Perry Cooper, SEA Airport spokesperson. He's going to come in and explain to me and Ursula, more Ursula, why SEA is the number one airport in America.
Yeah, we were kind of tough on the airport yesterday.
we do that next. Jean Ursula.
The G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Friday to all of you. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, of course, we're going to be doing Agree to Disagree. And then at 11:30, we are going to have a very special guest, Angela Russell from King 5. She's going to join us because she is leaving Evening Magazine. So we're going to find out what's up with that. But right now, we need to talk about SeaTac Airport. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport was named the best airport in North America by Skytrax at the 2023 World Airport Awards. And actually, this is the second year in the row that SEA, as it's affectionately called, has earned those top honors. Gee, you and I weighed in yesterday. So did many of our listeners.
Right.
Okay, we have to admit we were kind of tough on SEA.
I'm still tough on SEA.
But one of the people that we love to have on the show, mm-hmm. don't have him on enough, Perry Cooper, who's the spokesman for SeaTac Airport.
Okay.
Heard part of the conversation or heard people who heard the conversation,
right.
And he wanted to have a chance to rebut. So he joins us on the G and Ursula Show right now. Good morning, Perry.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How you doing? And gee, you can call me Coop.
That's
my old ball player days. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, Coop. So, let's just talk about, I want to say congratulations, first of all. Why does SeaTac Airport deserve this top spot when it comes to best airport in North America?
Well, we really appreciate it. And coming from Lance Little, who's our aviation managing director, he is really proud of where we're at right now. And our point for a lot of folks is if you haven't been out to the airport and wandered around, there's probably a lot of stuff you haven't seen lately. Our biggest things that we've seen in the last couple of years is the opening of the new N Concourse, where we modernized it and expanded that. If you haven't been in there, that is the template of what we want to see for the future. It is fabulous. It's open. It's got big views out to the airfield. It's got open skies to it. We're environmentally friendly. You know, we even use the rain from the roof to help flush the toilets there. Our other big piece that's open is the International Rivals facility that just opened last year. That's five times larger than the real cramped, almost closet-like space that we have in the old facility. And we even just finished the Central Terminal fully opened here now, where we've opened up a brand-new local concept, Salties and Brewtop Social, has started up there in the Central Terminal. So lots of exciting things that's going on here at the airport.
Wait, Salties, did you say?
Yes, Salties opened up on the north side now. You've heard of them locally, right?
Yes. Okay, because we were talking, and I was arguing with Chef, which you heard, because Chef was saying they're all chains if they're at SeaTac. And I said, no. One of the big efforts was to try to put local companies here, I mean, at the airport, right?
Yeah, definitely. And if you remember, the owner of Salty's, he was the original creator locally of Red Robin. And this is actually a legacy management as well, too. His daughter is managing the space here and in the airport.
Man, that's out of sight. Okay. You took some things that I didn't think about it because you do get some nice views. The end gate, you guys have done a good job with that. It does look so much better. All right. When I asked the question, and you're starting to cover the restaurant part, because I asked the listeners yesterday, I said, tell me your favorite restaurant at SCA, and a lot of folks said they were really slow with that. So you're addressing that. I want to talk about...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finished the question. My apologies.
What's up with them restrooms, man?
And I'm with you there. Going to push back to you as well, too. We are right in the middle, G, of a $62 million restaurant redo that we've been doing since 2018. And just as to give folks an idea of how big we are, we have 120 public-facing restrooms at SEA. So right now we've got new restrooms that have opened to the public on both B, C, and D concourses. We got three more that are going to open up in May. Unfortunately, you may have run into some of our old ones, but we're getting there,
right.
And we can't close them all at once because then you'd really be upset with us that you wouldn't find a restroom while we renovate.
Yeah.
But we've also got our first all-gender restroom that's going to be opening as part of phase four here as well, too.
Now, real quick, in all those restrooms, y'all got the full mirror, right? Because when I leave out of there, I like to take a picture of my fit.
Ooh, and if you've been in our end concourse especially, because those are our template again of what our restrooms looking like for the future.
Yeah,
they have big, huge, and they've got lights all the way around it as well too. So
okay.
You have that opportunity, sir.
I need to ask questions for the listeners right now who actually have some serious concerns about the airport, like the long security lines. And you guys have talked about some of the things that you are trying to address, including the need for a new regional airport. But talk to us about what would happen if there isn't another airport site located.
Well, right now here at SEA, we're working on what we're trying to handle the traffic that is here right now. Just like the rest of the region, it is growing so fast. We are a mirror of what's going on in the growth here. So pre-pandemic, if you guys remember, we used to talk about how every year we were setting a new record. It was like 9 years in a row we were setting a new record. We were the fastest growing airport the previous 5 years before the pandemic in the United States. That's how fast things were growing around here. We were at 51 million passengers before the pandemic, and we're just short of that here this last year at 46 million. So we're coming back to where that's going to be. And part of what we're trying to do is to figure out in a very, very small footprint that we have. We only have about 2,500 acres of our footprint because we're surrounded by three cities. So we don't have the ability, say, like a Denver or an LAX to, like, you know, move out and find another space where we can add another, quickly add another terminal or something else. So we've got to find creative ways in which we can address the needs for our passengers, which includes, for example, like Central Terminal. We've built up in those spaces in the second level that we hadn't had before above those restaurants that were there on the north and south end. We've got not only Salty's on the north end, but also American Express has a new lounge on the south end. And then our C Concourse expansion is actually going to give us four new floors that's going to expand there. That's going to increase the amount of dining and retail spaces that we have there, as well as a viewing platform where you'll be able to see aircraft from the outside as well, too. Some of that's going to happen then as well, too, on the terminal side, which includes an expansion we call the Gateway, which is basically on the north end where the Alaska ticketing terminal is. That's going to help us add one more lane within that checkpoint five over there. And I think Chef mentioned yesterday that the checkpoint one will go downstairs, yes, in the lower bag claim area. That'll expand that as well, too. But that's kind of the creative thinking we have to think of. You know, we don't have space to put, you know, another big, huge checkpoint. So it's that funnel. How do we manage that funnel to get as many people as we can through it in the most efficient manner we can? We're working really hard with the TSA, who's got more staff this year. They're doing really well with hiring. They've actually been offering more salary this year. So we're really excited about what that's going to look like here for the summer. But we are getting more and more full, like we were pre-pandemic.
That is the voice of SEA Airport spokesperson Perry Cooper. Now, Coop, let me ask you this, man, because when my father got older, and one thing I'm learning as I get older, sometimes you don't want to change. I want to say what I want to say. And there's a lot of people going nuts on the text line saying, Mama Native SeaTac, I'm going to call it SeaTac.
Yeah.
Why is it SeaTac? I mean, why is it not no longer SeaTac, but it's SEA now?
And we totally understand people want to say SeaTac. Go right ahead. We're not in a problem with that. What we are trying to do, though, is we're trying to also market to the world as well, because we've got so much connections to the world. So when you think of LAX and LA, SFO, San Francisco, even Vancouver, MBC, YVR, people think that. They know us more as that airport code. That's what SEA is all about. We're still Seattle Tacoma International Airport overall. That is our full name, and that's what we see all the time. But we're also marketing with that SEA to brand to the rest of the world, so they know who we are and where they're going to come to.
Well, Mama Name of SeaTac, I'm gonna call him SeaTac. What movie is that from, Coop? You know what movie that's from? Coming to America. Coming to America.
Okay. I know. You got that Sleepless in Seattle, that old shot in 87. Yeah. So. For it. And plenty of coffee places, too, for you. Local coffee spots for you, G. There's Diarte, Cafe Ladro, Stumptown Coffee, Cafe Vita. You just go look around.
Oh, my God, because you were bringing up the coffee, too.
Wait a minute.
Perry, you are doing a great job. I hope your bosses are listening. Wow.
But I had those. Okay.
Oh, I appreciate that.
you know what? You do a great job for SEA, and thank you for helping us. I might start to change over to SEA because I want to be more global, more worldwide.
If you want a tour, come on by. Happy to show you around.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to take you up on that offer.
You betcha. I'll buy you some coffee.
All right. Thanks, Coop. That is Perry Cooper, SEA Airport spokesperson here on the G and Ursel Show. Coming up next is time for Scenarios. G and Ursel. Is that?
Well, I don't know the movie, but it's Phil Collins for you.
I mean,
I don't even know who that is.
No. What? Come on now with Phil Collins.
Though. Okay, all right.
You know, bros love Phil Collins. Man. Anyways, I'll get to it. Scenarios, let's
here
get it.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Okay, so my birthday was on Friday. My husband has been telling me for weeks that he had a wonderful gift for me and I was gonna love it. I couldn't wait. I was so excited. And on Friday, last Friday, he gave it to me. Now I'm creeped out and I don't know what to tell him. You see, my cat died in January. I loved that cat and was devastated. I was depressed for a couple weeks. Well, on Friday, I got my cat back. My husband hired a taxidermist and had my cat stuffed. They did a great job, but it's creepy. It doesn't make me feel good about my cat. It makes me miss him more. And I just checked our account, and I found out he paid $4,500 to have this done. I don't know what to do and don't know what to tell him. I know he did it for a good reason. He thought I would love it, but it's just flat out creepy waking up in the morning to see my cat lying on the couch at the foot of our bed. It's a little frightening and horrifying and just sad. What should I do? 888-973-5476, the State Roofer text line. Ursula, you
have
the
best
bird. You
guys are married. You should tell them. I'm creeped out, and you spent way too much money on this thing that I don't want at the foot of my bed. Come on.
Okay. Ursula, it's not. Let me tell you why it's not that easy. Because he thought that this was about to be a home run. And I've done that before, too. I think I've gotten Lillian a gift, and I was like, yeah, I did it this time. And then she's like,
So you can do it in the messaging, right?
How?
You can say, I so appreciate that you thought of me on my birthday and you thought that this would be the perfect gift and you recognize that I love our cat so much.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest, this creeps me out and I don't feel comfortable with it.
Take it out of your bedroom.
I don't want you. I don't.
It was in the bedroom, at the foot of the bed.
No, because
of a couch.
You don't stop this, then the next thing's going to be something else that's stuffed or something, you know. No, why? You're in a relationship with somebody. Why can't you be honest? And I know there is a risk of, well, now then your husband's going to say, or your partner is going to say, well, you're discouraging me from getting anything because you're going to complain about everything. Well, if this is not something that you do on a regular basis, complain about gifts, I think it's legit to every once in a while say, the thought was there, but this is not it. And I don't feel okay with this.
And all the years when Long Live Mark got you a gift that you weren't really too favorable on, you came right out and said, Long Live Mark, you know what? This ain't it.
He almost always asks me what I want.
Smart man.
So there's very smart. A shock.
Very smart. DB, what you got, bro?
I mean, what's the return policy on that? Like, is there a gift receipt? Like, I know that that's not something that can necessarily be returned, but you can't spend $4,500 on something and not know that it's going to turn out kind of creepy. Like, yeah. How does he not know enough about her to know that a stuffed cat is going to be not the move? I don't think that's ever the move, personally.
Great point. How does he not know that about her? Because they don't talk enough.
DB, most husbands don't know enough. That's why we always be getting awful gifts.
Just get jewelry. That's always a win.
What do you got, brother Nick?
Ursula brings up a good point. You're married. Communicate this baby out. I know how they feel about the creepy vibes. Next thing you know, you're waking up in the middle of the night trying to get a snack, and you go, it's a cat! I feel like the good alternative, just get a stuffed animal or something. This is going too far.
Brian from Bellevue says the common denominator is in most scenarios is communication. Don't let this one go. You gotta talk to the hubby. And then someone else said, I can't believe Ursula didn't jump in there.
Okay. I disagree with you, Brian in Bellevue. I disagree with all y'all. If your husband spends $4,500 on a gift, it's not taxidermist, you can't take it back. It's done, right? So the money is spent. The worst thing you can do is be like, hey, take that back. Get rid of that. We spent $4,500. You thought it was a home run. Okay, you missed. You missed. It was a swing and a miss. Husbands do this all the time. We won't do it again. Yeah, we swing and miss.
$4,500 before. I'm going to make sure that someone wants that gift before I put out that amount of coin.
Can I throw myself under the bus real
yes.
quick? I think this Christmas for Lillian, I thought it was going to be a home run.
What'd you get?
I think I hit a stand-up double. matter of fact, she's worn it twice. I've only seen it twice. I'm still hurt by that.
But you were in the right area that you should have been in. It sounds like it was jewelry. You were close. Yeah, yeah. You were getting warm.
Coming up next on the show, it's time for Agree to Disagree. It's G and Ursula. All that.